If you were listening to the show on Wednesday, we were talking about the federal government's announcement to revisit the post-war home building strategy that Canada deployed in the 40s and 50s, with great success, too. And we got a call from, I think his name was Glenn. I might have the name wrong. Sorry if I do. But the caller claimed that he'd been working on a project in Alberta where a First Nation was using a 3D printer to build housing units really, really quickly. And we were pretty fascinated by this. So we looked it up. And indeed, it's true. Yeah, on the Siksika Nation outside of Calgary, 3D printed homes are being built right now. From my understanding, there's four buildings, each one containing four one-bedroom units. So you've got 16 housing units. So let's get the details. We're going to chat with Ryan Hall, who is the housing manager on Siksika Nation. Ryan, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so first of all, let's just talk about what we're building. These units, they're designed with a specific purpose, right? Like, there's a reason why you're building these, and basically it's to help people that are really at risk of becoming homeless or fleeing domestic violence or things like that, right?
Yeah, exactly. So we call them transitional housing units, and you're correct. So, cases with severe housing issues, women fleeing domestic violence, elders at risk of homelessness, anything in between, that's who these homes are designed for.
We talk so much about the housing shortage and the crisis that we're seeing all across Canada. Same thing where you are? Is there a shortage of housing? Is there a lot of pressure in that area for you?
Absolutely. And in fact, the housing crisis we're seeing nationally is something that Siksika Nation and many other nations have been dealing with for a very long time. So it's not new to us. But it is more acute now than ever. We get calls, it seems like every other day, about nation members living off reserve who are being evicted from their homes due to affordability issues and whatnot. So that national issue is having a very big impact on us as well in an already stretched environment.
Yeah, it's so tough. Yeah. So tell us about this project. It's first of its kind in Alberta. We haven't seen this anywhere else, right?
Correct. First in Alberta. It's been done a little bit in Ontario. I believe British Columbia has a project out there, but definitely the first in Alberta. And it's actually the largest 3D concrete printing project in North America at the moment.
Wow. Amazing. How does it work? Give us the details. Like I say, it's four buildings that you're constructing, right?
Yeah. So four fourplexes.
Okay.
And so it's a gantry-based 3D printer. It prints about a 60 by 40 foot print area. It's not too different, actually, from people might be familiar with the plastic printers that people use with their home computers. You just scale that up to a very large scale, and instead of turning out melted plastic, it's putting out a special concrete mixture and building the home up in layers from the ground up.
Okay, so what exactly comes out of the printer? Is it just the walls, or is it what is it being constructed? Like, what does it build?
It builds the, for this project, we're building all of the exterior walls with the concrete.
Gotcha. Okay, and what's the time like?
The rest of the home is all conventional construction, so
sure.
We have a slab on grade concrete, and then we're putting on a roof truss system and doing a metal roof on it.
Okay, makes perfect sense. How long does it take? Like, how much are you cutting out of the typical build by doing it this way, or are you?
So the building themselves, one building takes 36 hours of print time to put the walls up, and so that's where the technology really does help us a lot in that. It's a very rapid form of construction and a very efficient use of materials. You only use exactly what you need to build the project, so there's no waste. And because we're constrained with labor on the nation, having a robot do a lot of that work for us makes a lot of sense.
What about cost? Is it cheaper? Is it more expensive? About the same? What's the cost for this?
So for a multifamily project like this, where we're building fourplexes, it is somewhere between a 30 and 35% cost savings over conventional construction.
Okay.
So it does tick the checkbox for affordability in terms of reducing that construction cost.
I'm wondering, like, once the wall is built and the printer sort of pours the walls, are they done, or do you still need to, like, insulate them? How are they in terms of getting through a Canadian winter and all that stuff? What additional work has to be done to the walls after the concrete's poured?
Yeah, that's a great question. So the walls are designed with two exterior veneers. So there's an exterior section, and there's an interior section, which is it would face inside of the unit. And in between there is a weaving pattern, which it sort of looks like a sine curve, and it weaves between the outside and inside walls, and it essentially creates an air gap. And within that air gap, we put an expansion spray foam insulation in there. And so the R value on a conventional home would be somewhere around R20, R22. These homes with that design and the spray insulation, we're expecting to get somewhere between R30 and R32, which is a very good insulation value.
It's amazing. Yeah. Wow. That's phenomenal. What about getting the work done? I know the weather down south right now is a mess. We've got a problem. How does it work in an Alberta climate? Is it seasonal, or can you work year round with this thing? What are you thinking?
Yeah, that's another great question. And a lot of the homes previously were built in climates like down in Florida and California and Mexico. And of course, they don't have to deal with the winter conditions and can print all year. So we had to come up with our own solution. And so it required a lot of out-of-the-box thinking. And so we secured a tent to cover the construction site. It's actually a tent from Event Rentals. They do a ton of work with the Stampede. So you may have actually partied at one point in this tent that we have over the construction site right now, and we're heating and hoarding that using heaters. So inside, it's about between 15 and 20 degrees most of the time. It's a very, very comfortable work environment. And so we can work in there while, the weather outside is doing its thing, whether it's or in a Chinook or a blizzard, we can still continue working.
You're not working on this alone, right? UFC is involved, and the company is based out of Ontario. So tell us about, everybody who's on board here. Is it sort of a trial project, a test run, or what's the partnership look like?
Yes, it is a very good, unique partnership. So we had been working with the University of Calgary School of Architecture starting about a year ago, actually, on some ideas for housing, and that's really where the project sort of got its roots. We had some students looking at 3D concrete printing as a housing solution, and then as the project moved forward, we had a public presentation, invited stakeholders, invited funders, and Indigenous Services Canada came and saw all of this innovative work. And then we started talking about funding a pilot project, and that's sort of how this really got a foothold. Is through that that innovation funding from Indigenous Services, we were able to put together a proposal and get access to this funding, and then put together the project. And at the same time, this 3D company, Nidus 3D, out of Kingston, Ontario, had been looking at expanding out west, and had some capacity to work with us. So the stars were all aligned on this project for it to happen.
Yeah, sounds like it. And it's such a great idea. So you're building four of these. How many do you have? I know at least one. We heard from somebody who's wiring it. So how far along are you?
So we're just about at the halfway point. We finished the second building, and then we'll take a little break here for Christmas and get the last two buildings hammered out in January. And we're aiming to have them finished by the end of March. So looking at, we look at the construction timeline, starting and printing in about November to March. It's a very quick turnaround for a project like this.
I know you're only at the halfway point, so you might not have made a determination, but is this something that you would give a thumbs up to and look to do more of? Or is, so far, what's the reception? How are you feeling about it?
Well, it's been very well received, particularly because with 3D printing, we have the latitude to come up with our own designs. Instead of going to a factory building, getting a plan that's, off the shelf design that's designed for anybody anywhere, we've had knowledge keepers and elders contribute to the design of these homes, so they reflect the Blackfoot culture, and they're designed to look like a lodge and a teepee from Blackfoot culture. And because of that, we are interested in doing future projects, and are in the process of and putting together some new proposals to do that. So we're very interested to keep it going.
What an awesome idea. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us today to give us some of the details. I appreciate it.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.